Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. In today's episode, we are discussing the very current topic of parenting while working from home. To discuss this topic, I had the privilege of interviewing Sherry Medini and Carissa Tunis, who are the co-authors of Parenting While Working From Home, a monthly guide to help parents balance their careers, connect with their kids, and establish their inner strength. They're also the co-owners of the popular parenting website, AdoreThemParenting.com. With 6 kids between them and over a decade of work-from-home experience, they love sharing strategies that help fellow parents minimize the overwhelm while trying to juggle it all. Today, Sherry and Carissa are going to share their expert advice on how to balance working from home and parenting. I know you're going to love this episode. Well, hello, Sherry and Carissa. How are you both doing today?
Hi, thank you for having us. We're doing good. How are you?
Great. I'm so glad to be talking to you both today. So you have just come out with your book, Parenting While Working From Home. How relevant to the day and time in which we all find ourselves living. And that's what we're going to talk about today, specifically from the perspective of working from home with baby and toddlers in tow. And between the two of you, you have a whole gaggle of children. So you both are the experts on this. And Carissa, you're in the thick of it right now. How old is your youngest?
So my youngest is 7 months old.
Wow. And real fast, before we get started, will you both just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your family and your background?
Absolutely. So I'm Sherry. I have 2 boys. They are 7 and 10 years old right now. So I am in a different stage of life at the moment. However, I have been working from home since they were born. I quit my, full-time job when my first son was born to be able to work from home and do all of that. So I remember very vividly those phases of trying to keep a toddler entertained, working literally with a baby on your lap, literally attached to you. I've been there. And while we were writing the book, we tried to be really aware of that too, that to meet you where you're at and try to share things that'll be helpful regardless of the stage of life you're in with your kiddos.
Thank you.
And I'm Carissa. I have 4 children. I have a daughter who's 12, and then I have 3 boys, 9, 7, and then 7 months old. So it's really fun. I've been working from home for the last about 10 years since our second child was born. This book has been, it's been really fun to put together, especially in going through everything that we've been going through the last year.
I can only imagine. Will you give us a little bit of background about how you got to working with each other? Can you tell us about the process in which you wrote the book and kind of how that came about?
Well, I met Sherry on the playground years ago.
Love it.
Probably 5 or 6 years ago. We met through a mutual friend and connected. And together we had the idea to start a parenting website. And that's where Adore Them Parenting was born. So we launched that just over 4 years ago and have been growing that, been growing our audience. We've had articles published around the country, even in a couple other countries, and finally decided it was time to do a book.
So can you give us a little overview about what folks can look forward to when they buy Parenting While Working From Home?
So one of the fun things about the book and how we wanted to structure it a little bit differently than some of the other things out there is that it's organized as a monthly guide. So each chapter is a different month of the year because as parents, you understand that parenting in July looks very different than parenting in December. There are different challenges, different things that are a little bit easier about different seasons of life. So while a lot of the information, you can read at any time, you can pick this up and dive in and find something that's going to be helpful to you, but it just adds an element to make it a little bit easier to pick up and put down, because especially with babies and toddlers, you might only have 10 minutes to read something. And we wanted to make something that was really accessible so that busy parents could feel like they could pick it up, read something practical, read something helpful, and then revisit it later. We've also incorporated some journal prompts. So we have monthly intentions at the beginning of each month and monthly reflections at the end of each month as a way to make sure that you're kind of staying on track a little bit, that we're not making those same mistakes over and over. I know I fall into that, where we can fall into habits where we're facing that same struggle month after month. And it's just a good checkpoint to check in and say, are things going okay? Am I still struggling with this? What can I do to change that?
I really like how you structured the book. I completely agree that parenting in July is very different than parenting in December. And I am someone that's new to reflecting and journaling. So I'm glad that you're challenging parents to do that, because as someone that did not used to do that and now am converted to that way of life, it is wonderful. So I'm just going to go ahead and plug the idea of journaling and reflecting. And thank you for the journal prompts. As a parent, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So today we are going to get into your advice just about balancing working from home and parenting, momming, specifically with little ones. So to start us off, can you talk about just the general topic of time management?
So I think our general outlook is to try to do things that mean the most. Do the things that are going to, whether that's in business, in your career, what are those things that are going to make the biggest impact? But that also applies to your household. That also applies to your family, your kids. What are those things that are going to fill up your kids' buckets? What do they need the most? Do they need those snuggles? Do they need, you know, some silly time? Do they need a little bit of running around in the backyard? What's going to help them the most? And really looking at that and being purposeful with your day. As a parent, your day can go by very slowly, but also you feel like you don't get a whole lot accomplished because it's broken up into so many little chunks of time. So how do we make sure that if we have 5 minutes, we're doing something that feels meaningful with that 5 minutes?
What are some examples of, you know, kind of prioritizing the things that mean the most?
Absolutely. So one thing that I love that Carissa's been sharing is, okay, I need a shower today. I need to, you know, make this happen. And let's say that takes like 20 minutes. Well, maybe instead of rushing through a shower, I take a relaxing bath and I throw in, you know, some nice smelling things and I kind of relax. And it still could only take 20 minutes. And the goal, you know, we wash up a little bit, refresh a little bit, but it's also a little bit more restorative than something else. Same thing, you know, why not read a book for 10 minutes instead of scrolling through social media if that's going to be something that feels like it fills your bucket a little bit more? I'll even, if I'm really struggling and I'm having a hard time focusing, I'm getting frustrated, reminding myself that like I can take 5 to 10 minutes away and literally go lay down, go close my eyes. Like, even those couple minutes do make a difference. You're able to come back to that. Even what can I do if baby's fussy? How can I make that helpful for baby, but also for myself? That do we both just need to go take a walk? Do we, you know, pop him in the carrier and we go take a walk around the block? Because you getting to go out, you put in your headphones, you listen to a podcast, you go out, you bundle up if you need to, and go out it is much more freeing. It is much more restorative than doing the laps around the kitchen, which, like, we've all been there, right? Facing back and forth with a fussy baby. So sometimes, even though it feels like a really big effort to even get out the door, it does pay off. Sometimes we need to think ahead a little bit and be a little bit more purposeful in our planning so that we can enjoy the benefits of that.
Totally agree. Anything to add to that, Carissa?
Figuring out what is the most needed and just being okay with letting a few things go. I've learned that saying no to a lot really is better in the long run. I pick a few things I'll say yes to and then give that my all. I very quickly can find myself saying yes to too many things, and then I feel like I'm not achieving any one of them to the level that I think I should be doing it. So just keeping my plate smaller, focusing on what's the most important, what's going to move the needle.
The other thing I really appreciate that you do, Carissa, I feel like you have a good understanding of, like, there's no rules. Like, there's no rules for today or this week. Like, do what you need to do. That if baby didn't sleep last night, go back to bed. Like, you don't have to broadcast it. You don't have to even tell anybody if you don't want to. If you're feeling guilty about it, just do it. Do what you need to do. That it doesn't matter how you break up your 24 hours. You navigate that in whatever way works for you. If that means you work from 11 to 12 and get a ton accomplished at night, fine. Then sleep until 10 o'clock the next morning. You know, well, not that that's possible. Wake up and then go back to bed till 10 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah, I mean, so I have just learned that I work in blocks of time. Before we had our fourth baby, when all three of my children were in school all day, that was my time to work. I worked while they were at school. They got home from school. They were then my attention. But now with having a baby in the house again, that has completely changed. So my day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. I get my older children up and out the door for school. I have a little bit of time to work in the morning before I'm jumping into stuff with the baby. When I get him down for a nap, sometimes I take a nap. Sometimes I use that time to work. But it's now just in blocks of time. So I work a little bit when he's napping. I work a little bit in the afternoon when my husband's finished up with work. I work again in the evening when the kids are all home and helping to entertain him. After I get everyone down to sleep, sometimes I stay up and work then as well. I mean, last night I didn't go to bed until 1 o'clock this morning, and then I was back up at 6 o'clock. But then other days I go to bed earlier. Some days I nap, some days I don't. So, for me, it's nice because the schedule that Sherry and I have, as long as we're meeting our clients' needs, as long as we're staying on top of our schedule, we can pick and choose what hours we're working. And clients don't need to know that I was busy taking a nap or that I was changing diapers or bottle feeding or any of that. You know, as long as I'm responding quickly, which phones make it really nice and say, like, thank you for sending this over. I'll take a look. I'll get back to you. You know, as soon as I have a chance or by tomorrow. I try not to give myself too tight of deadlines, and Sherry has been really wonderful at teaching me that. Just keeping it professional. They don't need to know my life story, just like I don't need to know theirs. They just want to know that I receive what they sent, I'll get to it as soon as I can, and I'll get back to them. Whether it's midnight, I'm sending out the email, you know, that they have it the next morning, or if I'm doing it in the middle of the afternoon, as long as they're having it by whenever they need it, you know, I'm meeting those deadlines.
Yeah. I think that that is a really cool concept that our workforce and that parents in general are reckoning with, especially in 2020, how we've been in pandemic and most people have been asked to and forced to work from home if they're not a, you know, frontline employee or somewhere where you have to physically be at work. I think that that's a really important thing of transitioning from this, like, schedule-based employment or working model to a productivity-based working model of exactly what you just said. You have your own business, you have clients, and they have an expectation that you have set for them of the work that you're going to provide, of maybe even a service level agreement, if you want to get real corporate with it, of how frequently you're going to respond and in what, you know, time frame you're going to respond. And you meet that need, but it's not in this general kind of old timey 9-to-5 model. And I mean, I think that whether you own your own business or if you are an employee, I think that we're all in a time of reckoning of understanding the need for productivity-based work as opposed to schedule-based work, that's just kind of an old outdated model that's not really serving us as greatly as it was before.
Yeah, and it's really great that I've seen some big companies even announce that they're shifting to more of that model, and they're doing away with, you know, you have to be here logged in. And I think that's amazing. I think families have had so many pressures from so many different angles that they have been facing. And while working from home, obviously there's a big learning curve to it for people doing it for the first time. I do think it is pushing us forward in a way that we kind of needed to do this. And it also, it normalizes this chaos. It's connected families, and it has normalized it. Like, yeah, having kids is tricky and loud and time consuming. And that's okay. We can still have kids and advance our careers.
Absolutely. We can still have kids and take them to the park or take a nap with our kids and get a whole lot done in the middle of the day. Like, it doesn't have to, I don't know. And one other thing that I think of is, you know, I used to work at an office for years before I had kids, after I had kids, where I wasn't sitting at my desk from 9 to 5 working like the whole time. I took a lunch break. You know, you
chat with coworkers,
get the water cooler, you know, or go out to lunch, or some people are smokers, right? That used to be like the way more popular thing to do. And they would take smoke breaks and, you know, for big chunks of time. I won't get into people like drinking during the day. Mad men, right? But just in general, no one is actually just sitting down for 8 hours straight doing a whole bunch of work. And so I think that as a society, we really need to challenge the stigma of like a mom or a parent that's taking time out of their day to handle family matters and situations and, you know, spend time with their child. Or another thing that I'll speak about that I personally encountered in the early days of parenting that was challenging while working, which was breastfeeding and pumping. So I had a lot of guilt about taking pumping breaks, nursing breaks. People didn't really understand. And I had an experience where I was both working in the corporate world when I had my daughter. And then when I had my son, I actually changed jobs. It was just too much. And so when I had my daughter, I would actually travel a lot for work. And so I would be pumping on the go. I went to conferences with my old company or a national sales meeting where I was on a pumping schedule because I had to, and I was really prone to plug ducts. So I was like, I don't care.
So hard.
It sucked. Yeah. I was like, every 2 hours I got to go pump. And so it was the most ridiculous situation where I was at a hotel where we would do the national sales meeting. And then my room was like on the other side of the universe on the hotel. So every 2.5 hours I was in a meeting, and then my timer would go off and I would like literally run to my hotel room, have the pump as set up and ready to go as I could, reply to emails while it's like, you know? And then I'm throwing it in the little mini fridge, cleaning the pump parts in the ice bucket of the hotel.
Oh my goodness.
Running back to catch up with the whatever was going on in the meeting. And I absolutely felt like people were looking at me like, why does she keep leaving? You know, and these are like 50 something old men, you know, women in their 40s that just had a different time and place when they raised their kids. And there was just very little amount of grace and understanding with that. And there was I felt a huge stigma around that. Even when I had my son and was actually working from home full time for a very small company that was family friendly and understood, I still had psychological guilt about taking time in between meetings to then go grab my baby from our nanny and, you know, sit there and read emails while I'm nursing him, or just take a straight up break and just like look at my baby and, or even scroll through social media while I was nursing. So that's a long-winded story, but that's my personal example, especially in the early days of parenting, where rubber meets the road between my responsibilities as a parent and my responsibilities as either an entrepreneur or a coworker.
And I'm sure there was guilt attached to both of those, that you were feeling like you weren't able to do either of them as well as you had wanted to. Of course, you didn't want to miss parts of a meeting. Of course, you didn't want to have to play catch up. Of course, you didn't want to have to keep ducking out. But your body needed you to, and you just can't get around it. I do like the point, and I'm trying to do this a little and be more purposeful in my own life about if I'm taking a break, that I can use that not necessarily to multitask, but to like plug into another area of life. So I'm trying to be a little bit more purposeful about, even the other day, you know, my son was playing a video game and he would have been totally content to just do that on his own. But I wanted to be a little bit more intentional. I felt like we kind of needed a moment to reconnect. And I just went and sat beside him and he gave me a 15-minute lecture on whatever he was playing and the ins and outs. And he was just talking a mile a minute. And, you know, it's those little things that it bonded us. He felt like, oh, cool, mom's interested in what I'm interested in. And it gave me a distraction, because if I would have just gone and done something else, my head would have still been spinning on work stuff. What do I need to do? What's my to-do list? Whatever. But using, maybe this isn't the right way to phrase it, but using my kids as a break, like, it can be a really fun thing. And it's great for them too. So I think just reworking that a little bit.
So in our book, Sherry and I divided and would take different sections and write it. And then the other person would jump in and read what they wrote and then add their bit to it. So it really was such a collaborative effort. We both touched every part of the book. But one thing that I absolutely love that Sherry wrote about that's in the book, and when I read it, it was just like a light bulb moment for me, was she said to look at your children like little coworkers. Think about how often your coworkers are popping into your office and you're getting these interruptions, but that's okay. But at home, it's the same thing. And just that shift in mindset.
Except your at-home coworkers say, mommy, I need to go potty, instead of, you know.
I need help with the fax machine or whatever it was, you know, back when I worked in an office 10 years ago. But it just, it's such a different mindset. And she was using it too as the point of like, you don't always need to tell your client like, oh, can I put you on hold for a minute? A coworker popped into my office. Just like, you don't have to say like, can I put you on hold for a minute? My child needs help in the bathroom. Like, you can just be professional about it and just say, oh, sorry, I got to put you on hold for a quick second, and then jump back on and resume where you were. But even just looking at like the breaks, like you were saying, you know, you would go to the water cooler, you would just take a few minutes to walk around the office and catch up with your coworkers. It's the same with the kids, you know, for me to stop for 10 minutes to go run around with the kids or go sit on the floor and play with the baby for a little bit. You can still be just as productive, but I think just that shift in mindset for me has given me, I don't feel quite as guilty, I guess is what I'm trying to get to, you know, that it's just life. You know, if you're in the office, you have interruptions. If you're at home, you have interruptions. But I try to not look at it in such a negative way.
I totally agree with that. So Carissa, when we were talking to kind of prepare for this episode, you had mentioned a very cool concept that I would love to explore with you, which is your areas of focus. Will you tell us about your different areas of focus and how you break that up during the week?
Yes. So I started doing this when I had 3 toddlers at home and was trying to work from home. And I started picking an area of focus for the day. So I call it like picking days. I had 3 areas of focus. I had home, I had family, and I had work. And obviously every day there's things that you have to do. Every day I have to wash bottles. Every day we have to make the kids lunch. You know, there's things that you just can't get around. You know, every day I have to check my work email. But what my focus is for the day, that I change based on what our needs are the most. So some days, if I've been ignoring the laundry and the dishes and all that stuff is piling up, I will say, I just need a house day. I will respond to emails that are time sensitive, but the rest of the day, I'm allowing myself to focus on what I need to get done at home. And usually after a house day, you know, the house is somewhat in order for the next couple of days. I feel like that does buy me some time then throughout the rest of the week. family days, I think, are extremely important. I will have days that I set aside that I'm like, I am focusing on the kids. I mean, I will do what work I have to get done for that day. But the rest of the time, when I have a break, when I can focus on something else, my focus is on my children or my family. We'll plan something fun. We'll go to the park. You know, we'll go grab dinner somewhere. We'll have a picnic lunch. Not all of those in the same day. But you know, I try to pick something really specific to do with them as a whole or individually. And it doesn't have to cost money. It could even just be playing their favorite games and watching a movie together or whatever that looks like. You know, it changes as your kids are at different ages and stages. But just making sure I have that time where I'm connecting with them. And then the last thing is work. You know, I will really just have a work focused day. And I say that to my kids. I mean, I talk to them about my work and I'll tell them like, I need to do this and this is why. And when they understand the reason behind something, they usually are so much more accepting and cooperative. And we'll have fun then a day or two later, you know, when I'm asking them about school, they'll ask me, well, how did that project turn out? Or, aww, you know, but anyway, just, yeah, back to like,
on those work days, you can let go a little bit of the guilt of maybe they're watching their favorite, the entire, you know, they're watching their favorite movie three times in a row or, you know, whatever it is that you let go of some of that because there is no way, we get this question a lot, like, how do you balance your days? And I prefer to zoom out and say, you're not going to find perfect balance over the course of 24 hours. But can you try to find balance over the course of a week? And that eliminates a little bit of that pressure. And it lets you still feel really accomplished because I think we feel like we're falling short each and every day if we don't check off everything that we feel like we should do in a day. But if we can check it off over the course of a week, that's much more manageable.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, especially now with a baby, you know, I only have so many chunks of time to work throughout the day. And if I'm trying to use all those chunks of time split between all those different areas, I'm not going to get a whole lot accomplished in any one area. So when I can narrow that focus to one thing, you know, if it's a house day, in between feeding the baby a bottle and, you know, changing a diaper, I'm starting a load of laundry here. I'm, you know, throwing dishes in the dishwasher there. I'm allowing myself to work through that to-do list for that day. But yeah, Sherry's exactly right. For us to try to do all of that and be a good parent and a wife and all the other things that are on our plate all in one day, it just, we don't have superpowers. So spread out over a week makes it so much more manageable.
That's a huge tip. I love that of just zooming out. You know, it's not about the 24 hours, it's about the week. And sometimes it might even be about the month, you know, like this, like especially if you get sick or whatever happens, it's like, okay, just strike it from the record this week. It's not happening. But next week, let's resume as normal. I think that's really important. I have a question for you both, since you have been working from home and parenting for so long. Have you noticed anything different about 2020, the pandemic, and how that has impacted your experience working from home while parenting?
I think it's been really validating to hear the majority of the workforce acknowledging how difficult this is. Carissa and I were both stay-at-home, you know, work-from-home moms. And when our kids were little and toddlers, mine were home. So even though it was extremely difficult and I feel like people had a crash course in that, it was almost, like I said, it was validating to hear that this is hard and everyone is acknowledging that this is hard and we've made it work, but not because we got lucky, because we figured out things that work for us. Obviously the challenge of having school age children and having to manage virtual school. I was actually homeschooled growing up until 11th grade. So I am well versed in that aspect, but what's tricky about these hybrid versions of schooling and virtual school, that's even different than homeschooling, is that It's someone else's expectations. It's someone else's deadlines. And I know even preschool families are facing that, where they feel like, I have to have my kid on the computer, on the iPad at this time for this amount of time. And it's a different thing. There's a lot more flexibility built into homeschooling. So I think we were facing, everyone was trying to figure out what this looked like. Businesses were trying to figure out, what does this look like? Schools were trying to figure out. And I think if anything, it encouraged all of us to say, okay, there's no right way. There's no one way to do this. We need to troubleshoot a little bit and figure out what's going to work for us.
Thank you.
What do you think, Carissa?
I agree with everything you said. I mean, the virtual schooling just added a whole nother element. Having three school-age children in such different grades too was a challenge, because I had to sit down and work individually with each one to get them through their day. And until I was done with that, it was then time to start my workload. And thankfully, majority of that time I was pregnant, so I wasn't then also,
Oh, thankfully you were pregnant, because being pregnant is so easy.
I mean, what a time to be pregnant. I mean, this pregnant experience was unlike any of the others. But till the fall, I'm thankful that we live in the South and in an area that they did resume in-person school more quickly. So the overlap time of caring for a newborn, having to help the kids with their virtual learning, trying to work. We have, this new book that was in process. I mean, it was definitely a couple crazy months. I'm glad we're now on this side of things, but Sherry's right. Like, it's just a lot of people were facing the same thing at the same time, and everyone was just trying to figure out how that works with their family and their unique needs.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for sharing your personal experiences about this past year and just your parenting journey in general. And thank you for writing this book and for sharing your expertise that a lot of us that have been thrown into this new way of working and parenting at the same time, we've been thrown into this. So thank you for sharing your expertise on how exactly to do that, some kind of tricks, tips, hacks, and even a different perspective, like you said, about zooming out, about the week, about, really think about how much is 10 minutes like of sitting down with your son and just investing in asking him about his video game, which I'm sure just lit him up. I mean, I just love all of the stories that you both shared, and I'm really excited to read your book. If listeners are interested in getting in touch with you or finding out more, how can they get in touch with you?
The best way to do it is just go to our website, adorethemparenting.com. You'll be able to find everything there and reach out to us. And if you have questions or stories that you'd like to share, we are always available. We love hearing from everybody.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a chance to share.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and want to hear more, please subscribe to Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, I would love it if you would take 1 minute and give me 5 stars and leave a review about the show to encourage other parents to start listening. Finally, I would love to hear from you. If you have feedback, questions, or ideas for episodes, please connect with me directly on Instagram. Follow me and DM me at Finding Your Village. You can also always send me an email at Amanda@findingyourvillagepod.com. Lastly, I just launched a monthly newsletter for Finding Your Village, and you can find that in the show notes of this episode, or if you go directly to findingyourvillage.substack.com. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.